I said, Abraham did something that we should do, just like he did. We should never let time, days, months, years destroy our faith when it comes to the promises of God. He did not waver at the promise of God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello and welcome. Today, Pastor takes us through the second part of his message, The Oath of God, from Hebrews chapter 6. In the study today, we'll see that though we have more of God's promises than Abraham, what keeps us from making spiritual progress? We do not apply ourselves by faith. Let's learn more. Here's Pastor Bill.
God, his promise, his oath, it's like he comes right now into our presence. He stands before us taking the promise and the oath, okay? And what he's saying is this. He's swearing to you. He's swearing to the Jewish believers then. He's swearing to us today, tomorrow, and forever. He's saying, I will always be faithful to you. I will always be faithful to you. I don't know how that makes you feel, because I am not always faithful to God. Do you understand? And when I am faithless, the Bible says he is faithful. He is always faithful. He is the faithful God. He is faithful to every generation. Amen. He is swearing. How much more does God have to do for us today? He says, I am swearing in front of you. If you will... I want you to trust me. Trust me. And then when you believe my promises, you'll trust me then. That's what the Lord is saying. And he just took an oath, loved one, right in our presence from his word. Why is it that God can do that? Well, he just told us. Whatever God says, he has to keep it. He can't change it. He can't alter it. Why? Because it says it's impossible for God to lie. Our Father has no capacity to lie. There's nothing within him that can do so. He is the God of truth, and the Bible is the God of all truth. Amen? Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, everything that you promised is true. But, loved one, to this generation, I say this, God's promises are absolutely no value to you if you don't know them. And they're certainly no value to you if you don't believe them. Amen? Oh, no. Listen, God's oath and promise, they are unchangeable. And this now gives people tremble sometimes. Oh, don't talk about the eternal security of the believer, you know, and so forth, because you got to keep yourself saved. Either you're saved or you're not.
That's right.
Right now, what he just said, the unchangeableness, this oath and this promise, loved one, now listen to me. There is no greater security of the believer found anywhere in the Bible than those verses right there. We are secure in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now listen. It says here, this oath and promise, the unchangeable, in context, what it's referring to. Number one, our salvation. And number two, our great high priest, okay? And that's why we are to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Look at verse 18. That by two immutable, unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong encouragement. Why? Well, who have fled, we've left this stinking world and we've fled to our Savior, amen? It says, who have fled for refuge. For what reason? To lay hold of the hope set before us. Listen, when those Jewish believers, when they read that, something set them on fire. And I'll tell you why. Because this right here is a vivid picture for them. They understood the cities of refuge. In other words, when that word refuge popped up, they in the Old Testament, they understood the cities of refuge that God told Moses to establish. So if you read Numbers, I think it's 35:9 and following, it gives you the whole story. So remember that God told Moses, he says, I want you to appoint six cities of refuge, three on this side of the Jordan and three on this side of the Jordan. And whenever an innocent man accidentally kills someone, he is then to run as fast as he can to the cities of refuge, okay, where he will be protected from his accuser because the guy's going to kill him. And so he says, oh, he's got to do that. It was an accident. But and so the guy stays there He didn't mean to kill the person. He's there in the city of refuge. He must remain there as long as the high priest is alive. And if he leaves any time while the high priest is still living and the accuser finds him, he can kill him. Nothing can be done. So he's to remain there until the high priest dies in the city of refuge. And then after he dies, he can go and return home. Do we have an accuser? John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? His name, the devil. But Jesus, our high priest, what did he do? He died on the cross. He tasted our death for every person. And then he defeated him who had the power over death. That is the devil. Now listen, and then guess what? I can't go home yet, but it says after my high priest, after he dies, you go back home. Jesus died. He's home. We have a home in heaven. Do you understand? This place that we live in right now is not our home, loved one. Our sins are paid for. He is waiting on us right this minute. He never dies, never dies. And he's obtained eternal redemption and eternal salvation to all those who believe and put their trust in him. And he says, God says, I've made promises. I've made an oath. You lay hold of this hope that is set before you. Look at that in verse 19. And he says, and this hope we might have. No. Somebody's looking at their Bible. That's not on the app. This hope we what? We have. Now, in the Greek, it would be present continuous aorist. Okay, we have it right now, past tense, and we have it forever. What do we have? We have an anchor of the soul. Listen to me. God cannot lie. Amen? Amen? He makes an oath. He makes a promise. We have right now an anchor of the soul, meaning not only their salvation back then, our salvation as well. And look at it. Is it maybe sure? No, it is certain, sure. It can never be broken. It can never be damaged. It can never be taken away. And not only that, it's steadfast. It is sure. It is stable and fixed. And what did it do? Well, it's Jesus, of course, which enters the presence behind the what? Now, when the Jewish readers read that, that would be revolutionary. Because no one to go behind the veil meant death. Only the high priest could go back there, remember? What happened to the veil when Christ died upon the cross? The veil was rent from top to bottom in the temple. Josephus said that it took 6 yoke of oxen to pull the veil in two. It took 300 Jewish men to just hang the curtain. It was so broad and thick and heavy. And the veil was rent, meaning we have access to God. The way to God is now open for all who come to him and who believe. Amen? Well, that was revolutionary, loved one. Now listen, our anchor, oh, he is so sure. He is so certain. He is so perfect. We don't have an earthly anchor. We have one in heaven right this minute. Amen? Now listen to me. What does an anchor do? A real anchor, you know, talking about an earthly anchor on a ship. Now, Mario could get up here and tell us because he's one of those, whatever he did. It was on a ship, those big ones. And, you know, if you drop anchor on one of those big ships, I've never seen it, but I've never seen one. I take that back. I saw one up in Washington State, a big anchor. It was on dry land by the ocean. But to make a long story short, when you drop anchor, what does it do? Man, it goes all the way down, and it's got the hooks on the end, and it catches the rock or the soil, and all of a sudden, does the ship stop? Yes. In other words, that anchor secures the ship. The ship, that vessel, it won't move. It's not going to go anywhere. It is safe. It is secure. And it's not going to be swept away. Listen, our anchor is in heaven. He is the God-man seated at the right hand of God. He has paid for our sins. He went behind the veil to the presence of God. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the Holy of Holies made with hands, copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. This hope we have it right now, the greatest hope in all of mankind. One acre and one hope and only one Savior and only one high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. This hope. Loved one, it says in Colossians 1:5, because of the hope which is laid up in heaven for us. Laid up, that means stored up like a treasure. It's reserved for you and me, heaven right this minute. It says in 1 Timothy 1:1, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, meaning our own possession in this hopeless world that we live in. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, look at this next word in verse 20, important, important word. It says, now Jesus is in heaven. Now watch this, our high priest, where the what? Forerunner. What has he done? He's entered for us. He went behind the veil. He's there at the mercy seat of God, the throne of grace. He says, he has entered for us, even Jesus becoming a high priest forever. That means forever, okay? Never ceasing to be our great high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And he's quoting again Psalm 110, verse 4. When we get over into the study of Melchizedek in chapter 7, we're going to find in verse 21 of chapter 7 that God took another oath. And he swore that Jesus, our great high priest, would be a priest, our high priest forever, for all eternity. Amen. And he says, I will not relent. I'll never change that. It can't be changed. Now, with all of that being said, it's very important. This word forerunner is only used here. And the writer, led by the Spirit of God, he introduces a new word, but a new truth along with this new word. And listen, it's completely outside of the Levitical priesthood. See, Jesus is better than Aaron. Amen? Amen? Jesus is better than the Levitical priesthood. Now, with all that being said, this word forerunner, the Old Testament priest who went into the Holy of Holies one time a year on the Day of Atonement, loved one, he was not a forerunner. And how do I know that? Because nobody could go with him. Nobody could follow after him. If you did, you would die. Okay, so he was not a forerunner, but Jesus, our forerunner, has gone on before us into heaven for us. Now, our anchor is out of sight, but he's not out of our hearts. And our anchor will never relax his hold upon you. Do you understand? He is our anchor. He has you. You think you're going to drift? You're not going to drift. I mean, oh, you might start out, but guess what? He's going to jerk you right back. No, loved one, he has you. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We sit where Jesus reigns. In other words, right now, believe it or not, as God sees us, we are docked, harbored in heaven right this minute. Can you believe that? I mean, I say, oh, Lord, I mean, how much more security do we need? We are secure. So the word forerunner, it means a scout, a pioneer who goes before us to scout out the territory so the followers can come safely through. Jesus has already paid it all, loved one. He's in the presence of God. He has cleared the way. Why? John 14:6, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man cometh to the Father except by him. Amen. He is our forerunner. Jesus told the disciples in John 14:1. He says, don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Amen. That you may be also. That you may be also. One day, and it may be today, you're going to hear it. Anchor is away. You know what that means, don't you? That means it's time for the voyage. It's time to go home. You haven't been on a ship. You don't know. No, do you understand? In other words, it's time to go. It's the catching away of the church. Now listen, our great high priest, okay, very important. Our great high priest goes nowhere that we cannot follow. Nowhere. We belong to him, and he's cleared the way. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10:19-20, and following, he says that he's created a new and living way through Christ Jesus and by his blood, and we can draw near to God with full assurance of faith. In other words, we have access to God. The way to God is open, all because of Jesus. Do you know all true worship is not carried out here? When we worship the Lord, you've heard me teach it, we're worshiping God in heaven. He's the one who hears us. We worship God in spirit and truth, and he seeketh such to worship him. Amen? And then he does something. We are now, because Jesus is our forerunner, we have an invitation to come, all of us, into the holiest place in all of the universe. Does that move you? I remember one time many years ago, a very famous evangelist, I could mention his name, but I'm not, because I want to torment you, but I picked him up at the airport, and this was back in the early days of Calvary when I was still managing, you know, million-dollar properties and so forth. And I had to go to this mansion, and he was with me, and he said, "Oh, you got to let me in this place." I said, "I can't." He says, "Bill, I want to see this." I said, "No, I can't." I said, "The family doesn't allow things like that. I can't take you through there." And I looked at him, I said, and I called him by name, moron. And I called him by name and I said, "You're more impressed with this place than you are the Holy of Holies." We have an invitation to the throne of grace where the cherubim are. Do you understand? And I say, "Oh Lord, that should move the church. We have what no other people on earth have." Do you understand? 24/7 we can go there. We have a high priest. He's not unfeeling. He knows how you feel. He's gone through every experience in life just as you have. He's experienced them all. He's been tempted in every way, yet without sin. He knows everything. And what does he bid us do? Let me give you the scripture. You know it. We've already taught it. Hebrews 4:16. It says, "Let us come boldly." It says boldly to the throne of grace. Grace, God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. There's no merit from us. It's all God. Amen. He says, "Oh, I want you to come." And he says, "And you'll find mercy." And he says, "You're going to find grace to help in time of need." Now that's maturity. Where are you going for your help? See, if we're going to grow up, we need to know where help is found. If we're going to grow up, we need to know where unmerited favor is found. If we're going to grow up, we need to know where mercy is found and help in time of need. Amen. And he says, "Oh, listen, I want you to come boldly." That's the Holy Spirit pleading right this minute. The measure of the nearness and the nowness of God is based upon our relationship with Jesus Christ, loved one. Listen, and you know what? When we go to the throne of grace, there is Jesus, our Lord, the God-man. And listen, remember what we learned back in Hebrews chapter 2? He is not ashamed to call you brother. He's not ashamed to call you sister. Think about that, the God-man. And I go, "Oh, Lord." Man, it says to come boldly. Yeah. Childlike liberty, childlike confidence, where we cry, "Abba, Father." Amen. Where we can come to him because we're no longer enemies of God. And you know what you're going to find at the throne of grace? Yeah, Bill, you just told me. Mercy and grace and help in time of need. Yeah, you are, but you're going to find something else. You know, when you start thinking about God, sometimes we say, "I'm afraid." I'm afraid of God too. That's a wise thing to be. Have reverence for God, the fear of God. Amen. But I want you to think about God for a minute. I mean, the God who said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That makes you really want to approach the throne of grace, doesn't it? Yeah. But here's the thing. That is a command and a promise. Did you hear that? Yeah. Jesus said, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Command and a promise. Well, can you make yourself holy? No. You're already holy. He made you holy. He set you apart. Amen? See, he's already done it. Well, you mean that? Well, he's a holy God. And he says, "Come on, I've made you holy. I've made you, your position is perfect because you're in the perfect one." Do you understand me? You can, like a child, walk right on in. I mean, if your little children run to you, jump in your lap, are you going to slap them down and say, "Get away from me"? No, no. You just grab them and love them. Well, how much more our Heavenly Father? Now, if you're going to approach the throne of grace, listen now. Here is God. And who is he? I'll tell you who he is. John the Apostle told us in 1 John, God is love. He is love. God is love. Unconditional love. A love that never goes up. A love that never goes down. A love that is unconditional, not conditional. "Oh, you did good today, so I love you." Are you understanding me? And we come to him, the God of love. That's what you find there, the God who loves you. And here's how you're going to be received. Let's grow up now. Let's grow up right this minute. Here's how you're going to be received. You're going to be received the exact same way that Jesus Christ, our great high priest, the one who died for us, the one who paid for our sins, the way that God the Father received him. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are accepted in the beloved. That word accepted in the beloved means this: the exact same way that God loves his son, he loves us. Think about that. Man, we are accepted. And there's not any degrees of acceptance with God. Oh, I like you better than you. I like the Baptists better than the Presbyterians. No, God doesn't have denominations. He just has children. Now, and you think, oh Lord, how are we really received? We are received on the full, complete revelation of the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. The throne of grace. If you and I, if we do not come boldly, if we don't understand it, if we don't mature and grow up, then you know what? Then we're limiting Christ's sacrifice for us. We need to come boldly. We need to come full of love. See, if we're not freely accepted, then God has lied. Do you follow me? Come on. It's impossible for God to lie. Either the throne of grace is real or it's not real. Either it is true or it's not true. Either the throne of grace is truly available or it's not available. But God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. He loves us and he is there for us. Listen to me. The throne of grace, I told you this months ago, but it's a real place. It's real. You don't have to feel it. You just believe it. And by faith and endurance, you inherit the promises of God. Listen, there's nothing greater than growing up when the storms of life come and you say, I know who I am in Christ. I know what I was outside of Christ, but I know who I am now, and my Father cannot lie. Every word of God is true, and yes, there's a shaking going on, but I'm not going to shake because I'm not one of those foolish people that built my life on the sand. I'm one of those wise people that built his life upon the rock, which is I heard the sayings of Jesus, and I'm doing the sayings of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the storms of life can come, and everything in the world can fall apart, but when it does, I'm going to remain standing. I might lose everything I have, but I'll never lose him. Amen. I may lose my home on earth, but I'll never lose my home in heaven. Do you understand? It is certain. It is sure. It's unchangeable. It can never be altered. When you come to Christ Jesus and you truly believe in your heart, Jesus be my Lord, and God saves you, no one can ever change that. No one can ever take you out of his hand. No matter how many times you fall and you don't want to fall. The Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times a day. Do you understand me? See, to grow into Christ, like to grow in the Word of God, to grow on to maturity, know what you believe and why you believe it. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. I'm going to need it. And I want it. God never gets tired of you coming to him asking for help. And mothers, listen to me, God cannot lie. Whatever you face in your life with your marriage, with your children, whatever it is, you have the Word of God. And God says, I can't lie. Everything is true. Everything I said is true. And if you don't know Christ, I want you to listen to me now. You listening live, you that are here, I'm telling you there is a darkness that's coming. There is a night that is coming when no man can work. You better get right with God now while you have that opportunity. You don't want to be left behind if the church is removed, believe me. And you know how you do that? You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. You really mean that. He'll save you. Isn't it simple to get saved? Then the fun begins. Lord, if there's anyone listening live, I pray they just right now ask Christ to come into their life. Anyone here? Lord, when we close the service, I pray they rush to this altar where they'll find men and women and they will lead them to Christ. They'll pray with them to receive Christ. I'm thankful, Lord, for your word. And I'm thankful, Lord, for this church, for we are pressing on into the solid food, into maturity concerning the things of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. We love you this morning. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, and the church says, Amen.
As we close today, we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast and invite you to join us tomorrow as Pastor continues his study of Hebrews. My name is Brian Whitaker. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.